Let's worship together.
See, you might have been healed a lot quicker if you'd have quit picking on me. We're going to do a song called Now is the Time to Worship, and now is the time to worship. Not tomorrow, not next week. No matter your circumstance, there's always a reason to worship. And I have two things that I want to thank God for. Broken AC and a broken tooth. And the reason why I can say that is, one, my AC went out right before we went on vacation, and I knew it was going out. But thank God I had a warranty that we had been purchasing, and it covered the majority of the cost of my insurance, of how much it cost to replace it. My old air conditioner was from 1960, wow. So it did its job. But the funny thing is they had told me, okay, you know, your warranty covers this, but it doesn't cover this, this, and this. And so I'm thinking I'm going to have to pay, you know, a couple grand. Well, they come back and said, well, we didn't have to do everything they said we were going to have to do. It's this much less. And it was a considerable amount less. Well, I broke my tooth last night. And thankful that I'm not hurting, because, you know, you can break a tooth. I mean, I literally pretty much broke it in half. But it's sealed still from where I had a filling, and it's not hurting, it's not throbbing. I was able to get into my dentist, which I thought was no longer on my insurance, found out he is on my insurance and in network. But that's that money that I saved from my air conditioner is going to pay for my crown. So there are things that you can worship about, even if it looks kind of bleak and you're not sure that you... You have something to praise God about and to worship him about. So y'all sing with me. I know it's probably a new song to some of you. Some of y'all know this one.
Come, now is the time. Thank you. altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
One big choir, the Living Word Mass Choir. All right. Y'all can be seated tonight. And our children, is Mr. Where's Mr. Randy? Is he back? Yeah, children be dismissed. Oh, there's Mr. Randy. Be dismissed, Mr. Randy. I thought I heard a tambourine. Was that Tay doing the tambourine back there a little bit? I heard him in the background. Tay, that was good, buddy. Yeah. He didn't cry for me, Nikki. I'm just saying. And I held him for two songs. All right. We're getting to worship tonight. What is worship? Like I said, I think we all have a different visual when we say what worship is. But we'll cover 4 points, probably just two tonight, because I want to take time with this. And just probably cover two tonight and then two next Wednesday about worship. What is worship, first of all? Worship is this: to reverence, to adore. One translation is actually to fall prostrate in homage, to completely lay out flat in submission. You know, I've said this before, I've done it before, and I know some of you may not be able to do it physically, I understand that, but if you're able to do it physically, there's something about laying down completely as low as you can get before God that truly does something, I think, to you. Because you are surrendering yourself to the feet of the Creator. And you're bowing yourself as low as you possibly can in full submission that, yes, Lord, I honor you. Yes, Lord, you're first. Yes, Lord, you're head of all things. Yes, Lord, I can do nothing without you. And I completely surrender myself to you. You know, we see people sometimes out, and maybe somebody will, I don't know, they'll score 4 touchdowns, right? And you go up to them after the game, you're like this, right? You've seen people do that with their hands, like, oh, you know what they're doing? Oh, praise you. Oh, look at how good you did. They're worshiping. They're honoring. They're reverencing. They're adoring something. And we're in a world where a lot of things have taken the place of what should be adored and worshiped, and that is God. We have a lot of things in life that take our attention away from the Creator and place it on things that we think are more important. And though we are in a day of social media where everybody's business is out there in an instant, in a moment, you know, we got tweet and we got people just tweeting and we got Twitter, I guess the same thing. We got all this stuff, you know, and it's like it's instant, it's out there. And we see everybody's life on a string sometimes, and it's all just exposed, it's all just laying out there. And we get so caught up in that we fail to remember that we're to worship only one, because God says in the commandments, thou shalt worship no other God besides me. Make no graven images. Build anything up. And though we don't have golden calves here in America on statues, and we don't maybe worship things like that, we have definitely put entertainment and athletes and musicians and all of this stuff on such a pedestal that we lift them sometimes and give them more attention than we give our Creator. And it's important we realize how important worship is. Worship does something in our lives. Worship connects us with God. Worship connects us in a deep, intimate relationship where we can hear God's voice, We can know what to do. If we don't know what to do, start worshiping God. Start praising God. Start lifting God's name up. Start magnifying. Start exalting His name and see what happens. We've lost some of that, I think. Even in the church world, we've lost some of that. The attention is not on the preacher. It's not on the musicians. It's not on the denomination. It's not on the size of the church. It's not on the whatever. The vision has to always be the product we're promoting. And the product that every Christian church you're promoting is that Jesus is Lord. That's the product. Jesus is Lord. And sometimes we muddy that because we get in the way instead of pointing our worship totally to Him. Reverence, adore, to fall prostrate in homage, to honor. Next slide. True worship is based on a willing heart and spiritual understanding. Understanding the revelation of Jesus will cause our hearts to worship. Worship takes two things, I think. It takes a willing heart. We got to have a desire and want to worship. Nobody wants to be forced to worship. We should have a willing heart that we want to worship God. But we can't worship something or someone that we don't know about. So once we find out the revelation of who Jesus is and what Jesus has truly done in our lives, just like Gore was talking about his friend, look, I may not make it here much longer, but I'm okay because I have an understanding of where I'm going and who I'm serving, and that He's not going to leave me helpless and homeless and hopeless, but He's going to take my hand when my breath ends here and cross me over the Jordan right with Him. We will walk hand in hand, side by side. He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. He will be there in my last breath to help me cross into what He has prepared for me. When we have that understanding, we will worship Him with an attitude of not having to. So you're here tonight not because you have to be here. You're here hopefully because you have a desire to be here, because you want to be here. I didn't call none of y'all today and say you better be here. Now I might text some of you saying I missed you. But I'm not saying I want a little bit of a minor applied pressure, but I didn't say you better be here. I just said, you know, hey, I miss you. Hope you're doing good. You know, blah, blah, blah. I hope you have a desire to want to be here. And when we come with a desire to be here, then we get what God has for us, because we're open to say, Lord, I'm here for you and to hear what you have to say. A willing heart and an understanding of who He is will cause us to worship. How can we not worship the one that will never know the cost of our sin on the cross? We'll never know that. Have any of you sinned lately? Man, to know that I'll never know the cost, I'll never pay the price that is demanded upon me by the law for my sin, because grace has absolved it for me. Jesus came and bore my sin, and He bore my shame. And He made a way that I'll never die and I'll never taste death, but I'll live on and on and on forever in full power, full joy, full strength, restored again in a complete perfect state where there'll be no more darkness and no more pain and no more sorrow and no more tears, no more fears, no more frustrations, no more anguish, no more addictions, no more strongholds, no more weaknesses. Man, when we know that's what Jesus did, we will have no problem worshiping Him. But we worship athletes that don't know our name and wouldn't speak to us if we met them on the street. We worship rock musicians and rap stars and country singers and want to tear their clothes off because they look good in their jeans and boots. We throw undergarments up on the stage and we pray to God they see it. Let's be real. But we come to the sanctuary of God and can't get no noise for Jesus. Can't get a hand in the air. Can't get an eye closed. Can't get a moment of just tuning everything out and knowing who we're here to celebrate. We're celebrating the one that rode in on a donkey to turn Himself in to become our King. He didn't have to do it, but He did. He didn't have to take that cup. He told the Father, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass before me, but not my will, but your will be done. And He knew He'd be betrayed. He knew he'd be beaten. He knew he'd be crucified. He knew he would be in pain. He knew he would die. He knew he would leave those that he loved. He knew his mother would be at the foot of the cross weeping for him as her son was beaten and whipped and then suffocated to death. But he also knew this: I've got to be my mama's savior. I got to be my daddy's savior. I got to be my brother's savior. I can't be their savior unless I go and prepare a place for them, that where I am, they will be also, just like we will be as Christians. That's why we worship the Lord. Nobody gives us a promise like that. I love my wife, and she loves me, but unless the Lord returns while we're alive, there'll be a day that one of us will leave each other, and we'll be alone. I love my children, but two of them's hundreds and thousands of miles away. I got one more left. Pray to God she stays close, or I'll be 0 for 3. She's talking about Australia. Told them, they're going to think we're bad parents. My Lord, as soon as they get 18, they're gone. I'm glad they're on their own doing their thing. But there'll be a day that me and Melly will be alone unless the Lord returns. There'll be a day, like my children, two of them are out of the house. They're not really part of our everyday lives anymore. But guess who is? God. When Melanie's mad at me, I go talk to Jesus. When she won't talk to me, I'll talk to God. When she gave me the cold shoulder, God don't. I love that. When Dad don't come on Wednesday night, God still shows up. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. Next slide. Okay, we're going to talk about how do we worship. And there's 4 points, but only 2 I'm going to make tonight. How do we worship? Here's the first point. Singing is part of our worship. That's why y'all sounded so beautiful, didn't you? Don't you feel it when you're singing to the Lord like that? You're opening your mouth and you're declaring those words through song. Music is a powerful thing. Singing is powerful. Either the dark kind of singing for the devil is powerful, or the good singing for God is powerful. And both, a lot of us have been on both sides of that. And we know. Some of us used to rock out to AC/DC Highway to Hell. You know what I'm talking about. And we would rock out to it. And we would scream out the words, Highway to Hell! And man, that would, how many remember that song? Highway to Hell, AC/DC. Yeah. Lily's like, what? We jammed that song with our 8-track, well, I guess it was cassette tapes by the time they come out. I don't know. Cassette tapes. And man, we would just, you know, our heads be, you know, you ever go, be besides buying a car and they're doing this in the car? They look at you and they're going, I mean, you know, it makes you move. I challenge you, I bet if I play the song Footloose right now, don't pull it up. If I play the song Footloose, some of y'all would start moving. You can't help it. That song's contagious. Footloose, Footloose, put on my Sunday shoes. Well, no, and that's all I know. Kick off. Whatever. My Sunday shoes, okay. Anyway, that song will make you move. It will make you move. Songs make us move. They're slow love songs that make move. You know, you might play a certain song, Lily, a love song that might even move Roger. He might take your hand and say, come on, baby. I got to move to this. Y'all be up there just dancing. Music is powerful. It's powerful in worship. It's powerful in relationship with God. It takes off things off our life. As we begin to sing songs to God, it's hard to stay in the same circumstance. The old song, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad it is. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Just singing something that simple in your home can change the whole dynamics of how you feel, because you are worshiping God. That's a way you communicate to God. You know, the devil talks about Satan as a minister of music, right? At one point, the minister of music. It talks about that. I think that's why music has been such a viable role in the world society, and how some songs can make people go into dark places and how it can make them do, you know, dark things. You hear about all the rock and roll stars, ones I grew up with, the ones y'all grew up with, all of them, that go into this world of drugs and drinking and alcohol in that world of rock and roll. That music and that the lyrics, and the, more than the lyrics, it's more the spirit of the music. is what draws them in. The spirit that comes with that. Because we've got to be very careful. There are spirits everywhere that we go, all around us. There are spirits. There's a different spirit in the church, hopefully, than there is in a bar or in a nightclub or at a ball game. There's spirits. You ever been in a place where you just felt weird? You felt... I have been in some churches where I felt a really weird spirit I didn't like, to be honest. I've been in some churches. Me and Melanie went to one years ago, and I don't think Melanie went. I think it was me and another guy went. This little church for revival, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. It gave me the eebie-jeebies. I knew the spirit of God wasn't there. It was a false spirit. And so spirits are very powerful. So singing's the first thing we'll talk about. The importance of singing is part of our worship. And that, I will say this. This is why we open up with singing every service, because singing is part of worship. And I want to make this known. I'll announce again Sunday. Some of y'all do this. But the altar is always open even during singing. I know that some folks may feel drawn to come pray during singing. They don't want to wait till an altar call at the end. God's moving them right there. That's fine. If God is moving you during the worship part of our service, we're singing, you come talk to God right then, and you lay it down and you get what you need. Singing is just as part of the ministry as the preaching of the word is. They go hand in hand. Singing begins to, it opens up and cultivates our spirit and prepares us for the word to be deposited. So singing is very important. Let's read some scriptures on this. You like that better, Melanie? Psalms 47:1. Look what it says. Oh, clap your hands. Everybody do that. Clap your hands. Yeah, see, we can do that. We can all use our hands. Clap our hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. And that's what we do in worship. We clap our hands or we raise our hands. We're shouting out the voice of triumph with the lyrics on the screen, whatever we're singing. We just shout that out and we're singing. I always say this, we're singing to God. And that's what I love about our musicians here at Living Word, all of our singers. And I really feel like the people we have the right heart and the right spirit. And they're not about themselves. They're not about entertaining you. They're not about getting applause. They're about just being a part of serving and leading the congregation into the worship of God. And that's what it's about. I love when I see the singers close their eyes or lift their hands or they get so overshadowed they just can't sing at all. That's a beautiful thing because, you know, they're worshiping God in their way. But we are to clap our hands and shout to God with the voice of triumph. Next verse, verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. You say, Pastor, I can't sing. Oh, you can make some kind of noise. That's right. All noises to God are joyful, I promise. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be up here on the worship team on Sunday morning, so don't get your feelings hurt if I say you stink, but sing to God because we love you. But sing to the Lord. Sing to the King. It's very clear this is important. They sang as Moses led them out of Egypt. They sang, the Bible says, unto God. David talked about singing unto God many times. Singing is important, and we love to sing. My wife is, you know, we're really opposite on this. My wife grew up in a home of music, and I'll be honest, there wasn't music played in my home. I don't remember. And I mean, they didn't play music in my house growing up, as far as music on the radio in my home or in the car. Dad didn't play the radio in the car. That I don't ever remember. We talked and stuff. I don't remember music going on. I remember the first time I rode with Peggy Matthews. Anybody know Peggy Matthews? Peggy Matthews. I rode with her and Travis to Lake Myers Park as a little boy. Went to Lake Myers to swim that day. And I'm in the car, and Peggy turned the radio on. Now, you got to realize I grew up a very conservative Christian. We didn't listen. It wasn't, I don't know, they didn't listen. I mean, they didn't listen to music hardly ever. And so I'm in a car, and I'm in a back seat, and she turned on the radio. And a song comes on. Look, your mom's playing music. Yeah. I was like, wow. And it's a worldly song. Yeah. You know what the song was? The first song I ever remember hearing in a car radio. Nobody called today. She hung up when I asked her name. Well, I wonder if she thinks she's being clever. 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 See if I remember that song at all. After hearing that song, I can love you like nobody can. And I remember how, man, she's playing music in her car. I never knew what Dad's radio was. I thought it was just a piece of, I didn't know what it even was. Not playing. So Now, Dad has the radio now, I think, but when I was a kid, we just didn't do that. And Melanie's totally opposite. She grew up her whole life with music. So Melanie's all about singing. My whole point is this. Melanie is all about music and singing and hearing music. And, I mean, she could play music 24 hours a day. It wouldn't bother. She could play it going to sleep, play it cleaning the house. I come in one day, cleaning the house, had it blaring, I had to turn it off. Being like my dad, I had to turn it off. I said, too loud. But she's very musical because she likes music. Music makes us feel better. It's hard to sit still when the right song's playing. Sharon, is there a song other than a Christian song that makes Joe Brown move? What song would that be? Can you say it in church? What is it? Sherry by the Four Seasons. So that makes you move. We all got songs that make us move. If y'all play, don't pull it up. If some MC Hammer was going on up here, Hammer Time, your pastor would be going crazy up here. There's that one too, but MC Hammer more. There's something about music that gets in us and makes us want to move. So as we're singing, and it's amazing, the same folks at church that won't move on Sunday mornings will rock out at a concert. Or they'll rock out in their car. Or they'll play all this music and sing along with the lyrics, but in church, they ain't gonna move. Music should make us move. And when we're worshiping Jesus, that should really make us move. Lord, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. I've heard that song 20 years. Here I am to bow down. You are wonderful. You are beautiful. You know, all that. I mean, think about that. I'll never know, Lord, the cost you paid on the cross. I'll never see my sin upon the cross, whatever, you know what I'm saying. The point is, it's powerful and it's meaningful. Next verse. That's not fair, Melanie. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. Know what you're singing about. If you're a blood-bought, forgiven, redeemed Christian, you know what you're singing about. When you're singing Amazing Grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found, you have understanding of what you're singing. Lord, I was lost, but now I'm found. God, I was blind, but now I see. And when I've been there 10,000 years, Lord, it'll be like nothing because we have an understanding of our future in Christ. So we sing with that revelation of understanding. Next verse. Psalms 95, 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Sing unto God. Sing with the passion we would to Footloose or to Joe's song. You know, sing with that same passion. What's your favorite song from the 80s, Carol? You got a favorite song from the 80s? It's got like your song. Holler back, girl. Holler back, girl. That gets you moving, right? Oh, Mickey, Mickey, she's so fine. She's so fine. She blows my mind. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey. Yeah. There's some songs, man, are just classics that you just, it makes you move. You know? The one I like, the Van Halen thing, Jump. Has that keyboard music starts in. Oh, you know it's coming, man. I mean, you're getting ready to jump. Everybody jump, jump. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Next verse. 95:2, verse 2, same chapter, Psalms. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. We sing with joy. You know, we were, I did a funeral in church a while back, and it was a, I'll just say it was a denominated church. Let's just say that. And Melanie's sitting in the back. And they're singing a song for the funeral. They're playing a song. And this woman toward the front lifts her hand up. Well, Melanie told me after service she was sitting back here. And when they did, wasn't it lifting a hand? That's all they did? Lift a hand. And when they did that, two women looked at each other and they went like this. Like, OMG. how in the world, how can you believe? I mean, rolled their eyes at each other. She raised her hand. Look, the Bible is clear. We are to be joyful in our worship. Think about this. What if Mel got up here and she sung, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found." Good Lord, y'all be ready just to jump off a bridge. Right, you wouldn't believe she had no amazing grace. Look at the difference in this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now, thank God, I see. What a difference, right? And sometimes in our act of worship, maybe we don't do that publicly, but inside, that's how we worship. We worship like those hillbilly bears at Disney World. The jamboree bears. They get up at their hats and they sing the blues and I'm so happy. They sing like that. They're old country blue bears. And sometimes we worship that way. Instead of saying, man, I'm going to worship with joy. I'm going to shout with triumph because I know what I'm shouting about. That's the difference. You know, or you should know, what you're shouting about. We're serving the King of all the earth, who has all of our days numbered, who's forgiven us of our past, who's given us a future in spite of us and what we have done. His grace paid the price anyway. I saw a post on Facebook and I shared it. You may have saw it. It says, I've given Christ many reasons not to love me, and not one of them has changed his mind. Think about that. That's who we're serving. Next verse. I'll get through one point tonight. Psalms 101. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Joyful shout to the Lord, which we do through singing a lot. Next verse. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's key right there, right? Serve him with gladness. We should serve him because we want to serve him. You know, we raise our hands because we want to. We amen because we want to. We read our Bible because we want to. We pray because we want to. We give because we want to. We serve him with gladness in everything we do. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Come before his presence with singing. It's part of our worship. I remember years ago, I stood up in a chair in Pizza Hut. Me and Melanie was dating then. It was a Pizza Hut near the mall, and I stood up in a chair and sang to her in front of the whole restaurant. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, too. Think about how that must have made her feel, right? Oh, I know. Memories, though, baby. But I stood on a chair, in the middle of the restaurant and started singing to her. We like to be sung to. I mean, Nick, if you jumped up in a chair at McDonald's and started singing to Ashley, woo, man, you know? Pretty romantic there. Next verse. Psalms 147:1. Praise the Lord, for it is good. It is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Amen. It's a good thing to sing to God. That's why we really, and through the years, y'all have really picked it up. It's so beautiful now. It's important that all of you are incorporated when we sing. And that's why I love when Marjorie stops the keyboard and the church is singing. Because it's about all of us singing to God and having that moment that we are lifting him up with our voice. It's okay, I can hear Gail back there sing. And Gail, this Gail, and he's got a very nice voice. I'm not saying you don't. But I've heard this Gail sing. He has a nice voice. But you know what? God wants to hear my voice. And you know what? My voice to God is as good as Whitney Houston's voice was to God. Because he's hearing me, his child. Don't it make you feel good when your child just says, hey, mom, dad, I love you. Your child gives you a card, just want to say I love you. You're the best dad in the world. You're the best dad ever. I wouldn't be who I am without you, Father. You're an incredible, incredible human being. Hint, hint. You like cards like that, right? Because they're not forced to do it. Mama says some of my cards of the year, little things I wrote as a little boy. You know, you go to school, and I'm sure you've gotten things written to you, Shirley, by the grandkids and stuff like that, you know. and they write little cards or do little decorations. Destiny drew me a picture years ago. I've got it saved in my office. I wish I wrote down how old she was at the time, but she drew a picture of our church in crayon, put Pastor James and something, "I love you." And she gave that to me, and I got it saved. And she didn't have to do that, but she wrote that to me and drew that for me. You know how that made me feel? Think how God feels when we're singing to Him. We're singing praises to Him. In our room by ourselves or corporately in church, in our car, we're singing to Him. It's pleasant and it's beautiful. Next scripture. Ephesians 5:19. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Melanie said many times for years, well, since we started the ministry, she said this. When she gets up here, she says, "I get lost in worship." She said, "I may be having a bad morning or a bad evening. I may come to church, may not be in the best mood, or may be grumpy, or when he's, you know, he's raising kids, you know, how does he get kids to church on Sunday morning? They're little. It's like they're great 6 days a week, and Sunday morning, you can't, they're demons. On Sunday morning, fight, you try and get to church, get them dressed, everything goes wrong. And there'd be times she would come in, maybe not, you know, a little rattled. But she would say, "When I would get up here and begin to sing, it all went away. Because I would get lost in worship. And it became about me and God. And I would close everything out." Because when Melanie sings up front here, and I'm sure Marjorie feels the same way, but I can only speak for my wife. When Melanie sings up here, she is singing for her as much as anybody. She is singing from her heart. It's her time of worship. She's not in a seat like you. She has to be behind a microphone, but she is worshiping, and it's her time to sing praises unto her God. And I love that humility that she has about that. Next verse. Colossians. We missed one, Brandon. Colossians. Don't change. That's fine. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, once again, to the Lord, not to you. See, Melanie and Marjorie and Dee and Jewel, their true spiritual worship is not singing to you, singing to Him. They're just being used as a vehicle. Just like me preaching. I'm preaching to serve God, to share the good news of His word to people that will listen. We should admonish one another through spiritual songs and singing. One thing that was interesting, that we went to the church I preached at down Southside about a month ago, and several of y'all went, and I really appreciate the support. It was wonderful. But this happens in a lot of black churches. There'll be a time someone will just break out in a song if they feel like it. We were sitting there, and somebody said, "You got any testimonies?" And a couple people testified. And then just out of the blue, someone just started singing. "Oh, Lord," just sitting in their seat. And it was a beautiful thing. You have to understand the culture of the black race of many, many years ago, of how they would sing in the fields, how they would sing praise to God in their captivity, in their bondage. They would sing. And they've carried that culture to where they do that now. And if they feel inspired to sing a song, boom, they just sing it. Y'all remember that lady standing up and singing? Remember that, Carol? Simmons to sing. Oh, the choir, yeah, it just takes off. It was amazing. And it was beautiful. And what she was doing was she was worshiping her God in her way of doing it. Songs are powerful. Next verse. All right, we'll close out with this tonight. This is Psalms 150, 1 through 6. I want to close out with a bang. This is a bang psalms right here, I'm telling you. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Think about that. Is our worship measured against His greatness? You know, we would stand in line to get an autograph from Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger or whoever. We would, if there's an opportunity, he's doing autographs. Hey, I'll get an autograph. Stand in line, you know, and I'll give him an autograph. Do we have that same passion to hear what God has to say? He's more excellent than all creation. He's above all things. If our praise, if God doesn't get our best praise, something's missing. It's okay, guys. I scream at a game too. Okay, I'm passionate about anything I do. That's why I'm glad I'm not an addict. Because I would be great at it. If I ran around on Melanie, I'd be the best runner around in Statesville, I promise you. Because when I want to do something, I want to do it the best. So if my praise to God isn't the best praise I give, even above my wife and kids. I remember one time my son looked at me. He was a little boy, probably 10, 11 years old. He said, "Daddy, do you really love God more than me?" I said, "Yes, son, I do." He was amazed by that. How can you love God more than me? Because that's who gets the highest praise and the highest honor. Jesus died for me. Jesus paid a price for me. So yes, it's God first. And you know who's second? My wife. And then you know who third is? Christian. You know who fourth is? Jamie. You know who fifth is? I'm playing. It is God first. Melanie second. My children third. And mom and dad, I think you slipped down to fourth. But that's how it's supposed to be. Okay? You're a strong number four, though, I promise. And that's how it should be. That's the order that God designed. So if I'm praising anything or worshiping anything with more passion than I am God, my worship is misplaced. God comes first. Verse 3. Praise him. Now here comes all the music stuff. Here comes Marjorie and Gordon and Ethan when he's here on the drums. And Tay and Minnie when they're on the tambourine. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and what? Dance. Ooh. What do you mean dance? You supposed to dance in church? Dancing scares me. If you know what you're dancing for, once again, think about this. If I can do an MC Hammer dance till you can't touch this, surely I can dance to God did this. I mean, surely I can dance to that. I've danced many times under the Spirit of the Lord through the years. I'm not lately, publicly, but I have danced before in church, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when God gives you so much joy that you just dance. David danced before God, and he got fussed at for it, remember? Yeah, remember what Solomon said, or Saul said? Said, "You're a disgrace. Your position, who you are, here you are, and you're dancing out in the middle of the street." And the Bible talks about he danced his clothes off, not all the way off, but he was just completely lost in dancing for the celebration of God and victory. And they fussed at him, says, "Do you know who?" I mean, think about this. Man, if Donald Trump started dancing down New York City street, good Lord, think talking about him now. That'd be it, man. He'd be locked up. Can you imagine? Imagine our president doing something like that. Any president, any king. You imagine the Queen Elizabeth over in London.
Good Lord, there's a stick. You got to make sure they're alive. Make sure they're alive.
Sometimes. Man, to dance. Praise him with stringed instruments. We got that four-string bass right there. And with flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals, right? Loud cymbals. Woo! Praise him with clashing cymbals. Oh, I'm sorry. Baby, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare him. Colton, it's okay, baby. It's okay, baby. We praise it. We praising Jesus. You get used to it, baby. All right. See, he's calm now. He's good. All right, next verse, and we're closing. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. This is one aspect of our worship, is through singing, through songs, through hymns, through clashing of drums, right, Cole? Through all of these things, worship through singing. And we'll leave it there tonight because I know it's 8 o'clock, and we'll go into next week. And I'm going to give you a prelude. Next week, our second part of worship we'll talk about is testifying and the importance of what testifying is and how we can testify the goodness of God to other people and how that is a part of worship. I love what Melanie said. I stuck with me when she said it, that this whole book is really a book of testimonies. We read about David the giant. You know what we're reading? We're reading David's testimony. You read about Moses, we're reading his testimony. You read about Peter, we're reading his testimony. And that's part of our worship. I didn't mean to scare him, Shannon. I'm so sorry, darling. I guess it was a little bit loud. The word clashing, I just got a little excited. No, I won't either. All right. All right, that's where we're leaving tonight, folks. Appreciate you being with us. Sing as part of your worship. You can sing by yourself, sing in the shower, sing in the bed, sing in the car. Just sing. And see if God doesn't begin to restore your joy and restore your peace and restore your strength. Because here's another thing. When you sing to God and hear what you're singing, you start believing what you're singing. And it changes you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me so. You start just singing those. It just you remind yourself. Yes, yeah, he's back dancing again. He's good. Kids are resilient. Even Joe Brown heard that, didn't you, Joe? We did? Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Do you know what Melanie said? We learned that God listens to music too because he listens to us sing. That's a good point. I hear you, baby. You're smarter than the average bear. All righty. Aren't you glad to be here? That is true.
I mean, but that was just the way that turned
out. Right, it's the way that it's nomination. It's just.
And they still are that way. When I was up in Indiana here a few years back,
isn't it a great feeling?
Yes, it is.
To be free to do that, it's a great feeling.
But when you go back years later, you feel almost trapped.
I'm sure. Right,
I couldn't
be in a place like that. There's no way. I would shrivel up. You think you can learn a little piece of that war song that we heard that night at that church? Do you even know how to find that? See what you can do on that. That was pretty good. We could use that in our service as an example. That's true. That was kind of a complex song. But I thought that was pretty powerful. Everybody was doing this, you know, like the Braves, you know, but it was to Jesus. It says our war song. Oh, man, it was good. It was powerful. So I have to do that. What, Ashley? You got something to say, baby? Okay, well, this is a Christian song. Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, the voice. Oh, I got you. Let's stand up, church. Let's get you out of here. Thank you for coming tonight. Appreciate you being here. And if you have an offering tonight, you can put that in the offering plate before you leave. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this beautiful service you've given us. We thank you that we are able to worship. We can lift our hands, Lord, our arms, at least partway. We can move our feet. We can open our mouths. And we thank you, God, that we have ways to express how we feel about you. I pray, God, that you speak to our hearts, even tonight, to all of us, that we will step out of the box a little bit and begin to truly sing unto you and to worship you and not be afraid of what others think, but to celebrate you, God. You died for me. It didn't matter what you did for them. You died for me, God, and that's what I'm thankful for. And I appreciate and I honor the price that you paid. And I'm thankful. Let us, God, begin to worship with passion, worship with all that we have, and give you the best of our worship. And we thank you for this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Happy rest of the week. Hope to see you Sunday morning.